The saga of Nimrod and the origin of Babylon are not merely historical records. They are eternal lessons about ambition and rebellion against divine order. The narrative unfolds over millennia, in a time when humanity still bore the marks of the Great Flood and sought to rise from the ashes of a devastated world. Nimrod, described in the book of Genesis, chapters 10 and 11, emerges as a charismatic and powerful figure. Son of Cush, Nimrod first stood out as a mighty hunter before the Lord, a skill that not only demonstrated his physical prowess, but also established him as a natural leader in a wild and untamed environment. His dominion began with the founding of cities such as Babel, Uruk, and Akkad in the land of Shinar, Genesis 10:10, centers of power that would come to symbolize the very essence of the emerging civilization. But Nimrod was not just a city builder, he was the architect of a new order that defied the heavens. The construction of the Tower of Babel, part of his kingdom, was not a mere architectural feat. It was an act of open defiance against God, a symbol of humanity's desire to reach the divine. The desire for unity and power led Nimrod to promote an ambition that went beyond human capabilities, directly challenging the divine decree of dispersion across the world. The story of Babylon and its founder reflects deep themes of pride and rebellion. It serves as a reminder that, on various occasions throughout biblical history, great leaders and nations rose in defiance of the Creator, each meeting its decline in turn. Babylon's trajectory is one of those narratives that echoes into modern times, serving as a prelude to future prophecies about apocalyptic figures and the final struggle against the Antichrist, heralding a new world order. Nimrod's kingdom expansion was not limited to the borders of Shinar. The cities he founded, marked by their grandeur and structure, were the foundations of future empires that would dominate the ancient Eastern landscape. Akkad, for example, emerged as a fulcrum of civilization and innovation, while Kalna, though less celebrated, played its role in the tapestry of Mesopotamian history. Nimrod, however, was not content with the conquests in Shinar. The Bible tells us in Genesis that he expanded his territory northward to Assyria, where he founded cities that would become legendary in their own right. Nineveh, for instance, is immortalized in the narrative of Jonah, where it is depicted as a city of great importance and eventually deep penitence. Others, like Resen, also arose during his reign, described as great cities strategically located between Nineveh and Calah, Genesis 10:11-12. Nimrod's legacy is thus doubly significant. Not only did he establish the prototype for future empires through the founding of cities that would become centers of power, but he also redefined the social organization of the time. Before Nimrod, it is plausible to imagine that societies were fragmented into smaller communities and tribes, lacking the complexity and centralization that would characterize later states. By raising Babel, which many associate with Babylon itself, Nimrod not only built a city, but also a symbol of human defiance and ambition. The narrative of Babel, Genesis 11:1-9, reveals that the desire to make a name for themselves and the attempt to build a tower that reaches the heavens were clear interpretations of a humanity seeking to equal God, crossing boundaries meant to be insurmountable. In the heart of the Mesopotamian plain, an ambitious vision took shape. There, in the cradle of civilization, the descendants of the survivors of the flood gazed upon a vast expanse of fertile land, ready to be molded according to their aspirations. They were not content to merely cultivate the land or build temporary shelters. They longed for a permanent legacy, something that would challenge the very heavens. Thus, the project of the Tower of Babel was born, an endeavor that encapsulated both human ingenuity and audacity. As narrated in Genesis 11, the intention behind the construction was not merely architectural, but symbolically profound and spiritually rebellious. They used baked bricks instead of natural stone and tar instead of mortar. Innovations reflecting both their technical skills and their desire to create something lasting and imposing. The decision to build a tower that reaches the heavens was not only literal, but a metaphorical attempt to touch the divine, to establish themselves as equals to God. This act of construction represented a direct challenge to the celestial forces, hoping to avoid another dispersion like the one following the flood. They proclaimed, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Genesis 11:4. The audacious construction of the Tower of Babel represented not only an architectural milestone, but also a tangible challenge to the divine design. The builders' desire to create a structure that touched the heavens, as narrated in Genesis, was a clear manifestation of their quest for unity and immortality on their terms, not under God's. This attempt to equate themselves with the divine, to centralize humanity around a single grand work, met with a direct response from the Creator. God, observing their efforts and the intention behind them, decided to intervene. The divine method was subtle, yet powerful, to confuse their languages. This action not only halted the construction of the tower, but also scattered the people across the world, forcing them to multiply and spread according to the plan originally set for humanity. The tower, which was to be called Babel, a term suggesting a gate to God, ended up becoming a symbol of confusion, Baal in Hebrew. Nimrod, the powerful leader and architect of this ambition, encapsulates the themes of pride and challenge that permeate the story of Babel. His leadership in the construction of this city and tower reflects the eternal tension between human aspirations and the limits imposed by the human condition. The tower remained unfinished, a monument to the limits of human ambition and a constant reminder of divine sovereignty. However, the story of Babel is not the end of Babylon's narrative. The city, under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, would rise again as the capital of a powerful empire, destined to play a crucial role in biblical history, including the destruction of Judah. Babylon, located in southern Mesopotamia, became the epicenter of power and splendor, often contrasted in the scriptures with Jerusalem, the proud city of humanity versus the holy city of God. Babylon, the city of earthly splendors, emerges in the scriptures as the antithesis of the celestial city, a symbol of divine glory. This ancient metropolis, located in the fertile plains of Mesopotamia, now modern-day Iraq, became a biblical emblem of rebellion, arrogance, and disobedience to divine will. More than a city of material wealth, Babylon represented the worship of false gods and a lifestyle that defied the principles established by God. The significance of Babylon extends far beyond its historical or geographical reality, functioning as a powerful metaphor in biblical texts. Although details about the city before the reign of Nimrod are scarce, the Bible offers clues about its importance and symbolic role. The city was part of the land of Shinar, where post-flood generations, descendants of Noah, decided to settle. Babylon's very location carries narrative weight, as it was in this region that humanity, newly emerged from the Ark, began to rebuild life on Earth. Babylon's influence extended over centuries, indelibly marking historical and spiritual events. When Babylon defeated Jerusalem, the impact was not only territorial, but deeply cultural and human. The Babylonians were not content to merely subdue the inhabitants of Judah. They took with them to Babylon the most talented and skilled among them. These individuals, including educators, artists, and administrators, were not mere captives. They were key pieces in the project of making Babylon a center of power, innovation, and culture. This forced displacement of talent was, in many ways, a strategy to integrate and strengthen Babylon, leveraging the knowledge and skills of the captives to enrich and diversify its own society. The fate of Israel was intertwined with prophetic warnings from figures like Isaiah and Jeremiah, who foresaw the calamity that would ensue if the people strayed from God's ways. Amid these warnings, Babylon, under the command of Nebuchadnezzar, emerged as the instrument of divine wrath. The Babylonian army marched against Judah, fulfilling the prophecy with the conquest of the region. Nebuchadnezzar, a king of grand visions and equally grand acts, married a princess from the Persian mountains, bringing her to the vast plains of Babylon. Her longing for her mountainous home and the familiar natural beauty led Nebuchadnezzar to undertake one of the most ambitious projects of his time, the construction of the Hanging Gardens. This artificial oasis, a mountain made of bricks and filled with lush vegetation, not only symbolized his love and commitment to his wife, but also reflected his desire to tame and beautify nature. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, were not just an architectural feat. They also became a fascinating destination, attracting visitors from distant regions. To this spectacle, Nebuchadnezzar added a private zoo, gathering wild animals from various lands, creating a microcosm of creation within the urban landscape of Babylon. In a moment of reflection, while observing his empire from atop his palace, Nebuchadnezzar was overtaken by a sense of pride and self-exaltation. He exclaimed, "Is this not the great Babylon I have built with my power and glory?" However, this moment of arrogance was followed by a disturbing dream in which a giant tree reaching the sky was cut down and bound. This dream symbolized the tensions between unchecked growth and eventual downfall, recurring themes in the history of empires. When Nebuchadnezzar sought interpretations for his dream, not even the wise men and soothsayers of his kingdom could offer a satisfactory explanation. Only Daniel, an exile from Judah with a profound understanding of divine visions, could unravel the hidden meaning behind these dream images. Confronted with the enigmatic dream troubling Nebuchadnezzar, all previous attempts at interpretation had failed, leading finally to the summoning of Daniel, known for his remarkable ability to uncover the mysteries revealed in dreams. The king's initial hesitation to consult Daniel directly might seem strange, given the young Hebrew's proven track record. However, this reluctance also reflects the complex nature of Nebuchadnezzar, a powerful monarch yet deeply rooted in his pagan beliefs and idol worship. When he appeared before the king, Daniel, now called Belteshazzar in honor of the Babylonian god Bel, faced a disturbing vision as described in Daniel chapter 4, verses 14 to 24. The majestic tree that was ordered to be cut down, leaving only the stump with its roots, symbolized a grand kingdom, abruptly reduced but not completely destroyed. The decree that the king's mind would be changed to that of an animal until seven times passed was a divine warning about Nebuchadnezzar's imminent humiliation, meant to teach him that the Most High rules over the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wishes. The impact of this dream was so profound that it left Daniel temporarily shocked and concerned about Nebuchadnezzar's fate. His hesitation in revealing the meaning of the dream reflects the gravity of the message and the burden of delivering such ominous news to a powerful monarch. Nebuchadnezzar's response, encouraging Daniel not to be alarmed by the dream's content or its interpretation, reveals a moment of vulnerability and a rare openness to the truth, no matter how harsh it might be. As he revealed the interpretation of the dream, Daniel, known as Belteshazzar in the Babylonian court, approached King Nebuchadnezzar with a combination of respect and grave concern. With caution, he expressed the wish that the dream belonged to the king's enemies, indicating the seriousness of the revelations contained in the vision. "O king," Daniel began, "the tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the heavens and visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing sustenance for all and shelter for the creatures of the earth and the birds of the sky, that tree is you. You have grown in power and stature. Your greatness has reached the heavens, and your dominion extends to the ends of the earth. Daniel then described the darker part of the vision. But then a holy messenger came down from heaven and ordered, "Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump with its roots in the ground, surrounded by a band of iron and bronze in the fresh grass of the field. Let it be drenched with the dew of heaven, and live with the animals of the field until seven times pass by for him." This decree, Daniel explained, was the manifestation of the Most High God's judgment on the king. "This is the interpretation, O king, and it is the decree of the Most High that has come upon your majesty. It means that you will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes." Daniel, when interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, was driven not only by his understanding of the fate awaiting the king, but also by a sincere desire to see him reform his ways. Daniel's surprise at hearing his own interpretation can be attributed to the emotional impact of conveying such a grave message. The revelation came to him at the exact moment the king finished describing his dream. This synchronicity underscores Daniel's direct connection with the divine, enabling him to receive and interpret heavenly messages. Daniel then chose an approach of kindness and warning. He first reaffirmed Nebuchadnezzar's greatness, represented by the majestic tree, before revealing the humiliating fate awaiting the king, symbolized by the preserved stump. Daniel's final message was a passionate plea for repentance, urging Nebuchadnezzar to turn from his sins and seek God's mercy, hoping that such a change of heart might mitigate the severe divine judgment. Unfortunately, Daniel's words initially seemed to have no effect. 12 months after the dream's interpretation, Nebuchadnezzar was on the upper level of his palace, contemplating the grandeur of Babylon. It was at this moment of reflection and self-exaltation that he proclaimed himself the architect of such splendor. The words had barely left his mouth when a heavenly voice announced the fulfillment of the divine decree. Nebuchadnezzar would be stripped of his kingdom and reduced to a bestial state until he acknowledged the sovereignty of the Most High God over the kingdoms of men. Nebuchadnezzar's transformation was immediate and dramatic. Expelled from human society, he began to live among the animals, eating grass like cattle, his body exposed to the dew of heaven. Over time, his hair grew like eagle feathers and his nails lengthened like bird claws, physical manifestations of his fall from power and grace. After a long period of humiliation and suffering, Nebuchadnezzar's sanity and throne were restored. Transformed by the experience, he made a proclamation that radically broke from his previous declarations. He praised the Most High, acknowledging that his dominion is an everlasting dominion and that he does as he pleases, emphasizing that no one can hold him back. Through his own humiliation, the king of Babylon finally understood who truly governed the universe. The last recorded words of Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible resonate as an echo of his journey of redemption. "God is able to humble those who walk in pride." This is a profound truth that we must all embrace and incorporate into our lives. Pride is a dangerous snare that, as the wisdom of Proverbs teaches, invariably precedes a fall and destruction. Proverbs 16, verse 18. This truth is emphasized by the biblical stories of Nebuchadnezzar and his successor Belshazzar, whose reigns serve as solemn reminders of divine sovereignty and the consequences of excessive pride. Despite being warned and granted a 12-month extension of grace, Nebuchadnezzar failed to learn the lesson of humility until he was subjected to a form of insanity that reduced him to living like an animal. The lesson finally learned by Nebuchadnezzar was that heaven rules, a truth he confessed only after recognizing God's supreme authority over his kingdom and his own life. However, the story does not end with Nebuchadnezzar's recovery and restoration. It moves forward a few generations to the reign of Belshazzar, a king who, despite knowing his predecessor's history, chose to openly defy God's decrees. During a feast, Belshazzar disrespectfully used the sacred vessels that had been plundered from the temple in Jerusalem to drink wine with his nobles, thereby triggering a direct manifestation of divine wrath. In the midst of the celebration, a mysterious hand appeared and wrote on the palace wall, delivering a message of divine judgment. Terror consumed Belshazzar to the point of losing control of his bodily functions. Like Nebuchadnezzar, he offered rewards to anyone who could interpret the writing, but his wise men failed. It was then that Daniel was called, and the queen, recalling his past services, recommended his wisdom to the king. Uninterested in the king's gifts, Daniel revealed the message. He began by recalling Nebuchadnezzar's reign and how, due to his pride, God had humbled him, subjecting him to the life of an animal until he acknowledged true divine governance. With this introduction, Daniel prepared Belshazzar for the interpretation of the writing on the wall, which announced the imminent end of his reign and the takeover of Babylon by the Medes and Persians. Fully aware of King Belshazzar's impious nature and the impending divine sentence upon his reign, Daniel resolutely refused any part of the rewards or honors offered by the wayward king. His mission was clear: to deliver a message of crucial and definitive judgment. Before revealing the interpretation of the mysterious inscription on the wall, Daniel provided Belshazzar with a brief but incisive historical summary of his predecessor Nebuchadnezzar. This context was not merely informative, but served as a final plea for repentance. Daniel emphasized that despite Belshazzar's full knowledge of Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation and subsequent restoration, he chose to persist in arrogance, exalting himself against the Lord and worshipping lifeless idols instead of the God who gave him life and breath. The writing on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, carried a terrifying and profound meaning. Daniel interpreted each term for the astonished king. Mene indicated that God had numbered the days of Belshazzar's reign and brought it to an end. Tekel revealed that Belshazzar had been weighed on the scales of divine justice and found deficient. Pers, a variation of Upharsin, meant that his kingdom would be divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Despite the gravity of the message, Belshazzar kept his promise to honor Daniel, dressing him in purple robes, placing a gold chain around his neck, and proclaiming him as the third ruler in the kingdom. However, these honors were fleeting. For that very night, Belshazzar's reign came to a violent end when he was killed by invading troops, marking the transition of power to Darius the Meder, who took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Daniel's interpretation of the writing on the wall served as a final sentence for Belshazzar's reign, emphasizing that his time as king had ended due to his moral and spiritual failures before God. The expression, "the writing on the wall," has become proverbial, symbolizing a clear prediction or recognition of inevitable fate, often used when it is too late to alter the course of events, as was the case with Belshazzar. The judgment on Belshazzar and Babylon was not an isolated event, but part of a broader context of prophecies and divine judgments that manifested throughout the scriptures, particularly in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 50 verses 4 to 10, the prophecy details a future time of repentance and seeking God by Israel and Judah after periods of error and disorientation caused by poor spiritual leaders. This passage speaks of a restoration in the relationship between these peoples and God, a return to the covenant that will not be forgotten. The narrative then turns to Babylon, symbolizing the source of oppression and idolatry. God, through Jeremiah, calls the people to turn away from Babylon and leave the land of the Chaldeans, indicating the imminent destruction that would befall this nation for its transgressions. The image of the goats leading the flocks suggests a decisive and assertive movement away from evil and corruption, leading others towards freedom and redemption. The prophecy continues with the prediction that a coalition of great nations from the north will rise against Babylon, representing a joint military and spiritual response to the corruption and evil emanating from Babylon. This force, compared to a skilled warrior, will ensure that justice is served, and those who participate in the destruction of Babylon will be satisfied, symbolizing a complete victory over evil and oppression. The narrative of Babylon's destruction reveals a complexity in divine actions. Although Babylon was initially used as an instrument of correction against Israel due to the people's disobedience, its subsequent devastation was decreed due to the excess zeal and cruelty with which it executed this mission. The Babylonians, rejoicing in Judah's desolation and exceeding the limits established by God, ultimately invoked divine judgment upon themselves. Jeremiah 50 verses 14 to 16 underscores God's decree for the nations to rise in battle against Babylon. The order was clear: do not spare arrows, symbolizing a total assault against the city that sinned against the Lord. The call to war is described not only as a military act, but as an execution of God's vengeance, a call for the nations to do to Babylon what she had done to others. The command to cut off from Babylon the sower and the one who handles the sickle at harvest time suggests a complete dismantling of the city's productive and economic capacity, ensuring that even those working in the fields have no reason to stay. The fear of the oppressive sword causes everyone to return to their people and to their own land, highlighting the despair and dispersion that will accompany Babylon's fall. The role of the Medes and Persians, under the command of Cyrus and later Alexander with his Greek army, is portrayed as a continuation of the divine use of nations as instruments of judgment. Babylon, once a tool in God's hands to punish Judah, now faces divine wrath at the hands of other empires according to God's sovereign designs. This strategy emphasizes that while God may use nations for his purposes, he also holds those nations accountable for their actions and intentions. Jeremiah's prophecy vividly illustrates Babylon's fate, portraying it as a nation that, despite being a tool in God's hands to discipline other nations, including Israel, ultimately overstepped its bounds and became the object of divine wrath. The passage described reveals the totality of the destruction reserved for Babylon, an execution of divine judgment for its transgressions. I prepared a trap for you, and you were also caught, O Babylon, and you did not know it. You were found and also caught because you fought against the Lord. This phrase captures the essence of the surprise and inevitability of Babylon's judgment. God, as a divine strategist, sets up the situation so that even the nations used as his instrument of indignation are acting under his sovereignty, even if not fully aware of it. The call for destruction is total and indiscriminate. Open the storehouses, pile up goods like heaps of rubbish, burn and destroy completely so that nothing remains of her. The violence of the attack is symbolized in the order to kill all her young bulls, a metaphor for the youth and strength of Babylon, indicating that even the nation's future vigor should be exterminated. The figure of Cyrus and later Alexander as leaders of the army summoned by God reflects the transition of divine punishment through different historical agents. They are described as a cruel and merciless army whose approach is compared to the roar of the sea, powerful, inevitable, and destructive. The passage concludes with an appeal to the captives and those affected by Babylon's influence to flee and save their own lives, emphasizing that this is a time of divine retribution. The description of Babylon as a golden cup in the Lord's hand, intoxicating all the earth, and the final call for the nations to proclaim in Zion the justice and vindication performed by God illustrate Babylon's role in God's moral economy, serving as an agent of corruption, but also as an example of the consequences of defying divine sovereignty. The account of the return of the people of Judah to their homeland after 70 years of exile in Babylon is one of the most symbolic moments of divine mercy and faithfulness in the Bible. The release under Cyrus the Great, which allowed approximately 50,000 people to return to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, was a tangible manifestation of God's promise of restoration and renewal. The prophet Jeremiah, in his words, captures the essence of the hope and future that God planned for his people. "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you," says the Lord, "plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." This divine promise is not just of physical return, but of spiritual and material renewal. God assures that, despite adversities and displacement, his intention for his people is prosperity and peace, not calamity. The depth of the relationship between God and his people is further emphasized when he says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then with a deep desire, you will seek me and demand me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." This dialogue reflects a dynamic and responsive relationship where sincere and wholehearted seeking of God results in a genuine encounter with him, reaffirming his commitment to be accessible and present in the lives of his people. God's promise to restore and gather the people from all nations and all places where I have driven you not only fulfills the promise of return, but also symbolizes a redefinition of community and identity. Those who were scattered will be gathered, and the bonds that were broken by exile will be restored. The analogy of Babylon as a great mountain of destruction that becomes a dormant volcano or a burned mountain emphasizes God's final judgment on the nations that defy his will. The description that the city would become so desolate that no one would even dig through the ruins to find stones to build illustrates the complete and irrevocable destruction awaiting those who perpetrate wickedness and injustice. The memory of Nebuchadnezzar's errors remained alive in the minds of the people as an eternal warning of the dangers of pride and tyranny. He seized Judah like prey, devouring its people and absorbing all the blessings God had bestowed upon them. The biblical narrative extends beyond the present, connecting historical events with prophetic visions of an apocalyptic future where the final Babylon meets its fate, as described in Revelation 17, verse 18. In Revelation, two female figures dominate the scene, an impure prostitute and a pure bride, representing Babylon and Jerusalem, respectively. These personifications are more than just cities. They symbolize the contrasting values of the world and the kingdom of God. The fall of Babylon is announced in Revelation 14, 8. Then another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen. Fallen is the great Babylon, who made all the nations drink the wine of the passion of her immorality, corrupting them with idolatry." And again in Revelation 16, 19, where the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great, to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce and furious wrath. The Bible often portrays cities negatively, associating them with sin, greed, and pride. Since the time of Lamech, when the production of destructive weapons began, cities concentrated humanity, amplifying individual sins. Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, became a symbol of brutal and unrestrained power, a place where the idolatry of money and power prevailed. Nebuchadnezzar, in his insatiable quest for domination, indiscriminately massacred, bringing destruction upon children, animals, and even nature. In contrast, Jerusalem, built by King David as the capital of Israel, was not located at a strategic trade point. It was not near the sea, a great river, or a significant road. Yet it was chosen by God as his dwelling place, first in the tent erected by Moses, and then in the temple built by Solomon. Jerusalem symbolized the city of God, a place of worship and divine presence. The prophecy is fulfilled when Babylon, the city of man, is reduced to a pile of desolate ruins, inhabited only by wild desert animals. This total destruction serves as a perpetual warning against pride and idolatry, highlighting the inevitability of divine judgment on those who defy God's sovereignty. The relationship between the books of Daniel and Revelation highlights a thematic and prophetic continuity within the scriptures, both focused on revelations about the end times, divine judgment, and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. Daniel, still young during Nebuchadnezzar's deportations, received visions that spanned the trajectory of world empires and outlined the distant future, including the reign of the Antichrist, Christ's millennial kingdom, the resurrection of the dead, and the final judgment. In Revelation, Babylon is symbolically portrayed as an opulent commercial center whose destruction deeply impacts the world's merchants. This symbolic Babylon represents not just a physical location, but also a value system that prioritizes materialism and pleasure over morality and purity. Revelation 18, verses 11 to 16, describes in detail Babylon's wealth and extravagance, with an extensive list of goods that includes precious metals, fine fabrics, and even human lives, showing how deeply the city is immersed in commerce and luxury. The biblical narrative parallels Babylon's material corruption with its spiritual corruption, highlighting that despite its dazzling exterior, it is fundamentally decadent. The merchants who once prospered with it, fearing its ruin, distanced themselves, lamenting the loss of such a great source of wealth, but unable to avoid its fate. This theme of judgment and destruction is contrasted with the image of victory and divine justice in Revelation 19, verse 14, where it is said that the Lamb, a representation of Christ, will triumph over his enemies, including the powers represented by Babylon. He is described as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with him are called chosen and faithful. The description of Babylon's end in Revelation reveals a scenario where political and economic powers collide dramatically, driven by divine intervention that shapes human wills to fulfill prophetic purposes. This narrative, though rooted in symbolism, resonates unsettlingly with observable trends in the contemporary world, where political ambition and economic control often converge, sometimes with disastrous consequences. The apocalyptic scenario described involves ambitious and power-hungry politicians who, driven by jealousy and resentment against a dominant financial influence, personified in the figure of the prostitute, conspire to destroy it. This conspiracy results in an unprecedented economic disaster, with the city consumed by flames, marking the worst global economic disaster in history. This cataclysm is not just an isolated incident, but an act of divine judgment, where God implants in the leaders' hearts the desire to execute his decrees. Revelation 17:12 describes this dynamic in terms of a temporary alliance of power. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but together they receive authority as kings for a single hour for a common purpose with the beast. This passage underscores the fleeting nature of the power granted to the kings. A single hour symbolizes extraordinary brevity in prophetic time, indicating that although they receive authority, their influence will be short-lived and ultimately fruitless against divine purposes. Within this context of ruin and destruction, Christians face severe persecutions. The prostitute is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus, suggesting that amidst the city's corruption and immorality, Christ's followers face extreme hostility. This reality makes the Christian presence in such an environment deeply countercultural and dangerous, as in a city devoted to immorality, righteousness, and moral conscience are seen not only as undesirable, but as threats to the status quo. Revelation provides a series of instructions and warnings for Christians regarding symbolic Babylon, a representation of the worldly and corrupt system that opposes God. These guidelines focus on the need for separation and spiritual purity to avoid complicity in the sins of an immoral system and to escape the divine judgments that will come upon it. Instruction to leave. Revelation 18 verses 4 and 5 make a direct call to Christ's followers to distance themselves from Babylon. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins and receive her plagues. This appeal echoes the instructions given by Jeremiah to the exiles, emphasizing the urgency of distancing from any association with corruption to avoid the consequences of Babylon's accumulated sins, which have reached heaven, reminding God of their iniquities for judgment. Celebration of the fall. Babylon's fall is not just an event of destruction, but also a moment of liberation and divine justice for those who have been oppressed or harmed by it. Revelation 18 verse 20 invites heaven and the saints to rejoice in Babylon's destruction, for it represents the execution of divine judgment in response to the martyrdom of apostles, prophets, and all who were persecuted by her. This theme of justice and vindication continues in Revelation 19, verses 1 to 5, where a heavenly multitude proclaims hallelujah because God's judgments are true and just. Culmination of divine judgment. The events leading to Babylon's fall culminate in intense celebration and worship in heaven, evidencing the final victory over evil and corruption. The description of her smoke will rise forever and ever symbolizes Babylon's complete and eternal destruction. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures worshipping God reinforce God's sovereignty and holiness, who judges and condemns the great prostitute. Revelation 17 to 19 illustrate Babylon the Great as an antagonistic system to God that in the end times exerts control over the world but is ultimately destroyed by divine judgment. Why Babylons are important to us. The story of Nimrod and Babylon offers timeless lessons about humility and alignment with divine will. Being overly proud can lead us to unwanted consequences and ruin. The narrative warns us against the dangers of pride and self-sufficiency, urging us to depend on God and seek His guidance in our plans and ambitions. Lessons of humility and dependence on God. Nimrod, with his attempt to build the Tower of Babel, exemplifies the folly of human efforts to achieve unity and immortality outside God's plan. This story is a reminder that our ambitions must align with God's will. Otherwise, like the people of Babylon, we may end up working against divine purposes, resulting in confusion and ultimately our downfall. Psalms 127 verse 1 reminds us, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted Babylon's fall due to its injustices, idolatry, and immorality, emphasizing that our actions have consequences. Oppression, disregard for morality, and straying from what is right can lead to destruction, the temporariness of earthly kingdoms. Babylon's history also teaches us about the transience of earthly kingdoms. Despite its power and greatness, Babylon fell into the hands of the Medo-Persian Empire, as predicted. This reminds us that everything on earth is temporary, from our individual successes to the structure of society. The only thing that will last forever is God's kingdom. Therefore, we must focus our energies and efforts on what is eternal rather than what is fleeting. Attention to divine signs. Babylon's fall also highlights the importance of paying attention to God's signs. God tries to communicate with us in many ways, and we must be receptive and humble, not letting pride blind us. Babylon was an incredible place built by men, but it crumbled because God decreed so. This account reminds us that true power and greatness belong to God. Daniel 4:34 states, "God's dominion is forever and will exist for all generations."